Welcome to Trinity Life Church Podcast Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoy listening.
Morning, church. How are we? Are we asleep yet? No, we're awake. Jolly good. Scott gave us a story a while ago about him and Zai and how God gave him the courage to ask Zai out. So I thought I'd give you a little story of hearing from God, really. So I sat in a church in London, much like this, really. Just at the beginning of the service, a guy walks through and I went, he's nice. And then a little voice said, that's the guy you're going to marry. And I went, what? And I thought, no, I've got to be hearing things. This is really bad. Am I really looking at every guy in the church and thinking that he's going to be my future husband? Where is this coming from? Anyway, cut a long story short, that guy is Matt sitting in congregation there. So it did take a number of years, I must admit. It wasn't all of a sudden, and it was a process. And this is what I'm talking about today, actually, is having a process of hearing from God and following it through, or hearing from God and keep believing in him, as my title says. So just to give you an outline. Oh, I've got my zappy thing. If I know how to use it, that would be even better. That one. Yay! Zappy thing works. All right, so I just want to talk through how we hear from God, what are the benefits of hearing from God, which is always useful, how we can know it is from God, and what do we do when things don't quite go according to plan. So, don't want to do that one yet, because I've just given you the answers. All right, tell me, how do we hear from God?
In various ways.
Thank you. Can you give me some? The Bible. Next one.
Other people.
In the Spirit. Yep.
The world around us.
Yep.
Shouts.
Yep.
Prophetic words.
Yep. What about when we sleep?
Dreams.
Visions. Okay. Any others? Voices?
Gut reaction.
Gut reaction. Intuition.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'll let you off. You've worked. You've earned your keep. These were mine. Okay, reading the Bible, other people, pictures and visions, dreams, angels, audible voice of God, intuition, or a still small voice, which we will come to in a minute. Right, so if we just take each point individually, so first one, reading the Bible. Okay, this is where you need your Bibles out. Let's look at Psalm 119, 105. All right, and it says, I've lost track of my slides now. From the beginning. It's behind me, I know, but I don't want to do it behind me, I want to do it here. Right, the word is your lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when we spend time in God's word, when we sit meditating on his word, when we have that private quiet time, mornings, evenings, or whatever, we can meditate on his word and we can hear God's word through it, can't we? We can be encouraged through it. Also, if we're seeking guidance and wisdom in something a bit deeper, then we can do that by prayer and fasting as well and looking towards him. God talks to us by others. So even a donkey. So Numbers 22:28. What's this story about? Can anybody remember?
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Balaam. Oh, I call him Balaam. I don't know how you pronounce it. Balaam. Balaam, Balaam. Yeah, that's where I'm from, it's fine. So Balaam was this guy that could hear from God. This is set in the Old Testament. What basically happened was there was the Israelites attacking, I don't think it was the Midianites, might have been, can't remember off the top of my head. But there was an army attacking these kings, and these kings were a bit perturbed about this, so they went and asked this guy that they knew could hear from God to rain down curses on these Israelites. Unfortunately, they didn't really realize that the Israelites were with God at the time. And so they asked Balaam to do this. Balaam says no, because God says no. So then they brought larger people to persuade him to say, yes, could you do this? Balaam asks God and says, what do you think? God says, all right, well, just go, but I'm not very happy about it. So Balaam goes, gets on his donkey, tries to go to follow these people, and the donkey stops and he turns to the left. And then Balaam gets a bit annoyed at the donkey, so he hits him. And then he carries on down this path, and the donkey tries to veer off again and squashes Balaam's foot, so he hits the donkey again. And then the third time, he goes down a very narrow place, and there's no room for the donkey to turn, so he rolls over on top of Balaam and squashes him, in which case Balaam's very unhappy about this, and gets a bit angry and hits him again. Then it says, "Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you to make you beat me like this three times?' Balaam answers the donkey, 'Now come on, would you really?'" I think I would be a little bit more like, "What?" But anyway, Balaam answers the donkey, says, "If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden on this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" And he went, "No." So then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw this big angel of the Lord standing in the road, and he knew that he would have been killed if the donkey had led him straight forward. So, point of that whole story, apart from it was a really cool story, is that God gives us a word, and sometimes it's to direct us because we're going the wrong way. And it can lead us to being hurt or killed, or, you know, sometimes just causing us trouble. Next one, through pictures. Are we gone? Oh, yeah. Through pictures and visions. So, Acts 18, 9 to 11. It says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, keep on speaking.'" He was preaching the gospel. Loads of people were around him. It was quite frightening. They were giving him threats. They were going to kill him, everything else. God gave him a vision to say, "That's fine. You can be afraid, but you can stay where you are. I'm not going to let anything harm you." Sometimes God speaks to us when we're afraid, and he gives us the directions of whether to stay in that persecution or to leave. And that's a really good way of knowing these things. So that was Paul in Acts 19. Dreams. Really well-known one, Joseph. He gets woken up he gets this dream that Mary's going to have this baby, and it's fine that you can marry Mary, and she's going to have this baby, and it's not going to be yours, and we're going to call it Jesus. How wonderful is that? God's giving Joseph some instructions there, which is always useful. By angels, we've already come across one angel with the donkey. This one is an angel. He meets up with Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is not a Christian, and he's not Jewish, and but he is a God-fearing man who gives generously to the poor. And God uses him and says, "You know, I see that you give generously to the poor." I should carry on, shouldn't I? Back. God sees you giving generously to the poor, and I want to use you in that. And he meets up with Peter. Peter's already had a vision about food and different things, of how God wants to reach the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Cornelius then meets up with Peter and says, "This is what God said to me." And Peter realizes that this is what God's plan is, which is really important to us, because most of us are all Gentiles, and we wouldn't be having the gospel if it wasn't for Cornelius and Peter meeting up together. Excellent. So he can use non-Christians to talk to you. Good point. Next one, through an audible voice, which is Acts 9:3. This is a guy called Saul. He's persecuting the Christians. He's walking on a road called Damascus. He gets blinded. Then he hears this loud audible voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I believe that it was Jesus who was saying this as he's come down, but Saul can't see him because he's blinded at the time. This is a really powerful testimony. Saul then becomes Paul. Paul then preaches to the Jewish about Jesus. He gives us, again, wisdom, direction, and a conversion to believe in Jesus. So sometimes God will talk to non-Christians to get them to believe. Sometimes. Last one, through a still small voice. Lovely story, this one. 1 Kings 19:11. If we go through to that, and I might need my Bible for this bit, so you need to turn to this because it's quite a big chapter. All right, this is a prophet called Elijah. Who's heard of Elijah? Hopefully quite a lot of you. He's a great guy. He ends up meeting with these prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Baal. He gets the prophets of Baal to make an altar. Elijah makes this altar, and Elijah says, "Right, we're going to put these sacrifices on these altars. In order for these sacrifices to, they need to be burnt. as a burnt offering to their gods. So he says to Baal, right, you pray, the Baal prophets, you pray to your God, and let's see what he can do. Can he rain down fire so that this offering can be burnt? Baal's prophets chant and do all the things that they want to do, and of course it doesn't happen. And then Elijah prays to God, and God burns up the offering in his altar. Short story, longer one in the Bible, please read it. It's quite good. You would think you would be quite amazed at this at the end of the day, wouldn't you? You'd be going, yes, look, God answered my prayers. Isn't it fantastic? I've killed all these prophets of Baal. Actually, Elijah ends up really downcast and a bit fed up. And he says, I'm the only prophet left. What is going on, God? Speak to me. I need to hear from you. Now, God does, and this is really bizarre, because he says he asks him to go to this mountain. So God's already told him to go to this mountain, but he still needs to hear from him. I'm not quite unsure about that one. I'm sure you Bible scholars can work that one out a bit more than I can. Maybe as, you know, if you're doing a small group on a Bible study, can you answer that for me? So he says, there is a great and powerful wind that tore through the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. I would have thought he'd been there somewhere. But anyway, after the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. Then came the still small voice. And then that's when Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave to hear God's voice. Right, we're getting there, she says. Let's recap, because I've whizzed through that quite fast. All right, benefits of hearing from God. We've always said, how do we hear from God? What are the benefits of hearing from God? He gives us relationship with him every day, instructions of walking with him. He stops us going the wrong way and causing us harm. Remember that with whatever his name is. Encourages us when we're afraid, if you think of Paul. Gives direction to continue in his plans for us, and we can even convert to Christianity. Maybe when we think about Saul. And then he encourages when we're despondent. Elijah was really fed up, yet God spoke to him, provided for him, and encouraged him. So, why am I talking to you today? This is a good question. So, I've got a testimony that God asked me to preach on today. And my testimony is how I heard from God and believed in his plan. And I'm going to weave this testimony through the rest of the talk, so hopefully it won't be too confusing. Just to give you some background, I'm a research nurse. I work 20 hours a week in the NHS, but we're funded by pharmaceutical companies to do the research. But we work with NHS patients. 2 years ago, I was praying about a job. Needed to make some changes to it. It was getting too busy. We needed to get a full-time research nurse in post. I knew then that that person was going to get a high ban from me because they were expecting to manage the department and for the department to grow. Made sense. It was just a bit awkward for me, really. So I sat down, thought about it, prayed about it, and a little voice again comes into my head and just goes, why don't you look at being a clinical specialist nurse of working in the same area with one of the consultants that I knew quite well? So how do we know that that voice is from God? And that was for me, really. I heard it and I was like, I'm not convinced about this. I'm not too sure whether that's just my voice or somebody else's. If you think back to this voice that I heard about marrying Matt, I was a bit like, I'm not too sure if that comes from me. So if we look at these, we need to test it. How do we test it? How do we test it? Look at the Bible again. Confirmation. How do we get confirmation? Talk to other people. Yeah. Again, we can look at Judges 6 and 7 on this. A guy called Gideon. Who's heard of Gideon? He's another. He's in Judges. He was one of the judges in the Old Testament. He's quite an interesting character because he was a bit doubting himself. So an angel turns up, sits down by him, and says, you are a mighty warrior God, in which case Gideon goes, I don't know who you are. Can you just stay there? I'm going to go off over here and get a lamb and some other stuff and then to sacrifice on the altar. I'll be back later. And this angel's like, yeah, okay. That's it. Anyway, so Gideon goes off, comes back, and the angel's still there waiting for him. He puts the stuff on the altar. The angel sets fire to the altar, burns the offering, and Gideon goes, oh yeah, you are who you said you are. He's tested it. He also does a couple of fleeces and things later on when God tries to talk to him. But actually, God knew where Gideon was. God knew that Gideon wasn't that confident. God knew that he needed encouragement, and actually God's grace was in it, which I really admire, actually. For me, I just went and asked my consultant and said, what do you think? And my consultant turned around and said, that's a really good idea. We managed to get some funding together, so we funded this post for a year with me doing 10 hours a week in my research post and 10 hours a week as a specialist post. This was to give us an opportunity to create a business plan, to put it through the NHS, to see if we could make this job happen. We also need to seek people's wisdom, don't we? We need to seek whether it's the right thing for us to do and be doing. Get wise counsel, always good. And then the other thing is to pray, meditate over it. Prayer and fasting helps quite a bit. Right. When do things don't go according to plan? You know, sometimes we think, right, God's spoken to us, we're going to do it, and that's it, and then it works out fine. That didn't happen to me, and I'm not too sure about any of you, but maybe that's happened to you as well. They don't go according to plan for me. I end up with 2 months off sick. This affected our statistics that we were trying to get together to build the case, business case to get the job in place. We got the manager in post for the full-time research nurse. Unfortunately, we didn't get on that well, and so that made life really difficult. And by February of this year, the funding for the 10 hours a week had stopped, and we got told that the business plan had not been accepted, and that we weren't going to be able to get the job through. And in which case, I went, what am I going to do? Where's the next job that I can look at? Have I really heard from this? And you start doubting, don't we? We start doubting what we've heard. We start wondering, is this really going to happen? Have I really worked, you know? So we look at what it says in the Bible again. Know that God is with you. This is a really key one. So Isaiah 30:19-21. And I'm going to look this one up somewhere, if I've actually marked it, which might not have done. Can't even find Isaiah now. Lost him. Oh, yes, so he is. It would help if I was looking the right part of the Bible. There he is. Look, he's sitting there in front of me. Okay. I like this verse. It says, O people of Zion, you've lived in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. So even though actually sometimes it says, although God gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see him. So sometimes our circumstances, I wouldn't say that God makes them, but he uses them in you or in the circumstances. He uses you in those circumstances to grow stronger in him, to strengthen your faith up, actually, to strengthen your belief up. We have trials and tribulations, but actually God gives us that to know that he's there and to know that we can rely on him. And as we rely on him, we learn to trust him more. And that leads us on to the next point, really, is trusting the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. We do need to sit there and trust. Okay, brilliant verse for anybody who's looking for guidance or anything on Jeremiah 29:11. For God knows the plans, and I'm sure you guys know it off by heart, and I should as well, but I don't. So he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm, plans for you to give you hope for future. Then you will call on me and come and pray with me, and I will listen to you. We need to do that, don't we? We need to focus and look at God and just say, I know this, I can stand on this, and actually I can stand on the words and the promises, as Matt was saying earlier, those promises that God gives us, we can stand on and say, I'm not looking at the situation, I'm looking at what you've got for us. And again, listen to the wise people around you. I was really fortunate. I was in a prayer meeting one day, somebody gave out this word, Hebrews 6:10, and it really spoke to me in my circumstances. And it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. For me, that spoke about my work, that I work a lot, obviously, with patients. I help them a lot and I continue to want to help them. They're long-term liver patients that have got long-term liver conditions. They actually quite like seeing somebody in clinic, the same person each time, that knows what they're talking about and can just listen to their problems. And I just really felt, this is for me, this is what I need to do. This feels right. And yet, the whole of the circumstances looked like it wasn't going to happen. So we stand firm in him, don't we? So Ephesians 6:10, this is all about putting our armour of God on, our fighting warriors. When doubts and tribulations come, we can stand in him and know that he is a God that will provide. And we use our armour of the word of God to fight that sword of the truth. So that was it till the beginning of May this year. I had a visit from my admin manager saying that she'd managed to get the job through. Yeah. She basically borrowed and still I owe her a huge crate of beer or something, I must admit. She managed to sneak some money out of our budget to put into as a post, and she came and told me and went, the post is going to be advert probably about next week. And I was like, yay. I was really excited. And then God said to me, don't you just love it when he does this? He goes, right, okay, you can preach about this on a Sunday. And I was like, really? And he went, yes. I was going, I haven't even got the job yet. All I know is it's going to advert. That doesn't mean anything to me. He's going, right, you contact Kate and say, can you preach? I was like, okay, then we'll do. And we came up with this date. Little did I know that it was going to be really close. But anyway, as per usual. It took three weeks for it to come out to advert instead of just the usual one. So this gives us back to just the beginning of June. Then it took another week to wait for the interviews. After a week, it took another 5 days to find out whether I'd got the job or not. There were 6 people that applicated. There was 3 people that were interviewing, and one of the persons they wanted to wait because they couldn't make the interview date. So, it all got a bit confusing. Sometimes God gives us the opportunities, but we still have to do our bit, don't we? I still had to make sure that I had a good application. I still had to make sure that I did a good interview. This wasn't something that was going to be handed on me in a plate. This was something that we have to fight for sometimes. And I think, you know, we work in partnership with God, don't we? We work together. It's not all about what God does, and it's not all about what we do. It's the way that God makes us the opportunities, and then we have to walk through it. We have to test these things out. We have to open the doors. If you're thinking of selling your house, you actually have to put your house on the market sometimes. And if it doesn't work, then maybe that's not the right thing. If you're looking for jobs, then you have to apply. And then sometimes that comes out, and then sometimes it doesn't. But it's wisdom with everything, isn't it? So, have we got to the last one? So, I'd like to let you know, yes, I did get the job. I only found out last Wednesday, so it was a bit like, yeah. But yeah, so, and the final bit, and I'm clicking the wrong things now again, is know that God finishes what he starts. He gets there in the end. We get there in the end with everything from the journey. So I just wanted to recap, I guess. If we're waiting to hear from God, spend time with him, listen to him, see what he has to say. He can talk to us through all sorts of situations. There's a reason why he wants to talk to us most of the time, to follow his way, follow his plan, follow his path. Trusting him when it doesn't work, we can stick with it. Test and know that it's the right thing to do, and God will always finish it. Amen.